जैनं विश्वपादपरमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान् अभयम् शरणारविन्द भक्तिवेदान्त गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जैनं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विश्वपादपरमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान् भक्तसिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यौनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनम मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगम मां उद्धर भवार्णवाद श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफलः सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पाथयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमन तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरा तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरय तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितगैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मल्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र सुसदं पापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किंवाभरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेत्र शुश्रूषुभि तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं सुखमुखादमृतद्रव संयुतं पिबदा भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिया भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमजुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मैदयतरोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदं तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनाम् नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिगाभिगाभिगाभि नम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणी श्रीमल् गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशायासां हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्द परमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं गरविराजदशङ्गचक्रं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रम् राधा सहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारः वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म वासदां गुरदो मम मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः। ശ്രീനിരാധിയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി മം ബത്വാ മനസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മ ദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥ ജലാഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലുപാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാസംബോധനബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമലപ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർവേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാവശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം നവിദസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ യോന്ത പ്രവിശ്യമമോചമിമാം പ്രസുപ്തം സഞ്ജീവയത്യകില ശക്തിധരസ്വതാംനാം അന്യാം ശഹസ്തചരണശ്രവണാം തുകാദിൻ പ്രാണാൻ നമോ ഭഗവതേ പുരുഷായ തുഭ്യം ഭൂതേർ മഹദ്ബ്രിയമാ പുരോ വിഭുർ നിർമായ ശേദയ്യതമൂഷു പുരുഷാപും തേ ഗുണാൻ ഷോഡശ ഷോഡശാൽപകം സോലം കൃഷിഷ്ട ഭഗവാൻ വജാംസി മേ ഭഗവത് ബ്രഹ്മസംപ്രോക്തം സംക്ഷിപ്തം വർണിതം പുരാ പ്രാഹ ഭാഗവതം ശേഷ പ്രോക്തം വിസ്തരത പുന ഇൻ ദി സെക്കൻഡ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇൻ ദ തേർഡ് കാൻറ്റോ ശ്രീരാജാരി സ്വാമിജി സേസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ദി ബിറ്റ്വീൻ കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് ബ്രഹ്മ ദാറ്റ് കോൺവെർസേഷൻ ത്രൂ വിച്ച് ദി ചതുശ്ലോകി ഭാഗവതം വാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ആൻഡ് ദ സെയിം തിങ് in a very condensed form through Adishesha and through the through Adishesha it has come in another form. So the thing is that Chalishlogi Bhagavatam, what was spoken before, Sridhara Swami mentions there, particularly with reference to the last verse, that is the tattva jnyasana atmana anyoya vidrega abhyam yatsyal sarvatra sarvada. What he is saying there is that jnana sadhana, or while even cultivation of knowledge of the self, what is the symptom of a person who has got that? That means one who wants to understand about the soul, that means atmatattvam, he wants to know that, he should have a little thinking power also. He has to develop some thinking nature. It's essential. Otherwise it is not possible, simply like a machine to operate. So what is that? That is why this Anvaya Vidrega Abhyam, what it was spoken, Anvayam Vidregam. You remember throughout Bhagavatam you will find Anvaya Vidregam spoken. So what he is saying there is that this logic you won't find in the modern science or anything. This is a different way of thinking, completely different. And what he is saying is that Karyam Karanam. There is a cause and there is an effect. Now, cause will be there throughout the effect. Effect won't be there in the cause. That's the way it is. Anvayam Vidrekam. What does that mean? Example, the same example all the time spoken. That means you have got the clay and you have got the pot. From the clay you have made the pot, right? If you remove the clay, there is no pot, isn't it? Clay is the one that is become the pot. So, when the pot is broken, it becomes clay again. And that means the effect has become the cause again. Cause is the clay. Pot is the effect. If you break the pot, the effect goes and becomes the cause again. It becomes the clay, right? And so, and that is what is called Anvayam. And this logic you have to apply in everything in the Bhagavadam. In many, many places this will come. The more you read Bhagavadam, you will find this coming out all the time. This Anvayam and Vidrekam. Yeah. So, what that means is that when the pot is broken, it has gone from the state of effect back into the state of cause. So, at that moment only clay remains, no pot. And that is called Vidrekam. So, this tattvam has to be applied to the body and the self, soul also. For example, Atma or the soul is the cause. Body and all other gross body, subtle body and all other things is the effect of that. So, the body has got these three states, waking state, dream state and the deep sleep, right? So, while these three states are going on in the body, the cause is remaining inside as the soul. Soul remains as it is, right? And he remains as a witness to everything what is happening in the gross and the subtle body. As a witness, right? And that is called the Anvayam of the soul. That means from the soul everything has come. But when the body is operating independently, which is the effect in other words, soul is the cause. When the effect is working, through different states it's going through, gross body, subtle body, vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, everything is going through. Soul remains as it is. It is not involved in anything, it's a witness to everything, right? So, but when you go into samadhi state, it's a little different story. In the vacant state, dream state and deep sleep it's the same, but in samadhi state it's a different story. Because there is no connection between the, you are already in the state of the soul. So therefore, there is no Anvayam there. Anvayam is only in the vacant state, dream state and deep sleep. All these things you've got to look at it and quietly think and then you will get it, right? So, so at that moment, it is Vidrekam. This Anvayam Vidrekam, if you understand, it is in the Bhagavadam, in the first verse itself, is it not? Anvayam Vidrekam spoken, yeah? So Anvayam Vidrekam is like this, that the, in which states they apply through the body, only vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. Otherwise it is Vidrekam, right? So, the difference between the soul and the gross body exists only in the, these three states. Vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. When these three states are not present, that is the situation called the samadhi. Samadhi state, right? So, at that moment, in the samadhi state, this difference between the gross body and the soul doesn't exist. Because you have moved away from the body. Body has no connection anymore with the soul. You have become, in the samadhi state, you have become the soul yourself. Jivatvam has gone. Jivabhavam has gone. So, at that moment, you start realizing that I am not different from the truth. I am one with the truth at that moment, right? So, Brahma Jityasa, Sridhara Swami mentions there, that the Brahma Jityasa purpose of all that is to get to this state of oneness with the self, oneness with the self. So, during the three states, which means Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, at that moment Anvayam is there, but Samadhi states there is only Vedregam is there. So, because of that, the proof is that Atma is present in all the states. In all the states. In this way, in vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep, and in the Samadhi state, who is present, that is Atma. This is how that fourth verse in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Sridhara Swami explains that. Yeah. So, you got to look at everything and keep thinking about it till you get that clarity inside. Yeah. So, and Sridhara Swami mentions all these things in detail in his commentary about it. So, that's one thing. So, last Sunday we were discussing this Uddhava in the third chapter of the of the third canto. We mentioned that the Braja, three different types of devotees talked about. Krishna had three different close associates, all three of them. Gopis in Vrindavanam, Pandavas, and then the Yadavas. Three different situations. Gopis didn't want anything except Krishna. Pandavas wanted Krishna, at the same time Pandavas wanted some material happiness as well. Yadavas wanted material happiness. They didn't want Krishna. So you can see the difference among them, how they have related with Krishna on that level. Gopi's relationship was like that. So, we mentioned there that afterwards they went to Prabhasam and there they fought each other. Satyaki and Kritavarma, the Yadavas started fighting. Everything ended up in a disaster for the Yadavas at the end. So, when Krishna was present in Vrindavanam, Bhagavatam says that Rama Kridam Abhunarba, the place has become so opulent with presence of Lakshmi Devi all the time. Place was so wealthy. Wealth in the modern world is a misunderstanding based on the wealth in the Shastram. Wealth in the Shastram means, why it is different is this. Wealth in the modern world is through power and force you acquire things and you gratify senses. This is considered to be the wealth in the modern world. Modern concept of wealth is like that. By power and force, brutally, you acquire others' wealth and enjoy and satisfy your senses. And then people say that you are very opulent. That is not the Vedic concept of wealth. Prabhupada also mentioned this in many times. Because when Prabhupada was in America, Prabhupada said, so many people asked him, why is that without any God consciousness America has become so wealthy? Prabhupada's answer was, America is not wealthy, he said. America is in a very degraded state it is. It's not wealthy, he said. Wealth, if you want to understand, he said, you should read Bhagavatam, where when Krishna's appearance time, what happened in Vrindavanam, that without any anxiety, everyone able to show consideration and able to love each other without any selfishness and able to work together and cooperation and feeling satisfied with without working hard, everything was provided by the nature. That is the wealthy state, he said. So, many times people misunderstand these things. They have false concept about wealth. Wealth is not all that what we think is the wealth. Wealthy state is this. That's why that particularly Shukha Brahma, she mentions there, Rama Kridam Abhunarupa. He says, Rama is Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi was dancing in Vrindavanam with wealth, right? So, but unfortunately, everyone did not take advantage of that. Yadavas also got Salsangam with Krishna, but got a lot of it. But they can only, they could only see Krishna as a great Yadava, not more than that, anything else, right? Because, as I mentioned before, their mind was not giving them blessing. The blessing of the mind, as we say. Blessing of the mind. Unless your mind is blessing you, you won't get Bhagavatam. That your mind will go drag you into so many different directions and mess around with it, and the life is gone, finished and gone. So, till your own mind gives you that blessing, give you that shanti to sit and listen to Bhagavatam, till it will not happen. So, what he's saying here is that they didn't have that purity of the heart, and therefore, which will come from the spiritual culture of the people who had it. It's only the spiritual culture that brings that purity, and they didn't get that. So, but because of that, Krishna did not give up on them. Krishna gave them everything what they wanted. Krishna is like that. He doesn't have any enmity or any particular feeling for anybody. According to the law, whatever they are entitled, they will get it, right? So, so these three different categories we have seen. And the other thing is that actually wealthy means without working hard, wealth should come to you, looking for you. That is wealth. Not that you work whole day, 24 hours, day and night, and then struggle to make some money. That's not considered to be wealthy. Wealthy means, by Krishna's mercy, that pleased with the bhakti, Krishna is satisfied. Lakshmi Devi providing everything what is required for life in this world. And that is wealth. Right? So, we don't need to go running after the wealth. Wealth should come looking for you. Right? So, if wealth comes like that, what is the advantage? There is a difference between that. Wealth acquired brutal force and through cheating and all kinds of things, whatever wealth that is acquired, that will create ahankaram inside. Whereas wealth given by Lakshmi Devi in this way, provided, will not create ahankaram inside. This is the difference between the two. Because they have taken complete shelter of Krishna, the devotees, gopis and Vrindavanam. Everything what they wanted in life was provided plenty. There was no shortage of anything for their life. So, in such a situation, Krishna's mercy will always be there. So, so main reason for Yadavas to fail in their life, the way disaster it was at the end, it was a total disaster for the Yadavas. Reason for that is because they turned their face away from Krishna. That was the reason. And then, but at the same time, by Krishna has allowed them to have the opulence, everything what they wanted, but it didn't last very long. It was all destroyed at the end. Why? Because they got excessively attached to sense enjoyment, and due to that attraction for sense gratification, anyabhinivesham happened. So, about this Yadavas, it is spoken in that chapter. Uddhava says a lot of things about them. You could see that Uddhava was not happy with them, with the Yadavas, the way they have behaved, right? So, and Uddhava says at that moment, I won't go into detail about it, he said to Uddhava. Uddhava says to Vidura, I won't go into detail about it because it hurts me to talk about it, he said. Let's leave it, he said. Let's talk about Krishna, who is more important than talking about the Yadavas. This is how Uddhava spoke to Vidura. Uddhava did not want to discuss, elaborate on what happened to the Yadavas, because as far as Uddhava is concerned, they have failed in their life. Who? Yadavas have failed in their life. They didn't achieve what life they should have got from Krishna's association. They didn't get it. So, in this way. So, he said, talking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna and hearing about Krishna. So that's the only things that will make a person happy and satisfied in life. And just like he says that when you talk about friends and family and all that, initially you will have some interest to talk about it, but after a while it will all develop into problems. Right? Because you will get fed up with that after some time. And the people who are listening and the people who are talking, both their mind will become very depressed after a while. So, therefore, he says, let's talk about Krishna. Ordinary people, they will have in family life and relations and all, you like some relatives, some people you don't like, in this way. So, here, he says here, you may think that Krishna has cursed the Yadavas, or Krishna has blessed some people. That is not also not true. Because people who do not understand the bhakti, they talk like that. They talk like that. And Uddhava is explaining that to Vidura. Right? Foolish people, he said, who does not understand what bhakti is, they will speak in this way, that Krishna has given them a lot of mercy. Krishna has been unhappy with somebody in this way. So, but this kind of misunderstanding doesn't exist in Krishna. Krishna doesn't have all that, right? So, especially for devotees who are very much understood what bhakti is, and who are advanced in bhakti, they won't have these misconceptions about bhakti, right? Here in this world, normally we think when somebody is materially very opulent or doing well, material life, people will say that, oh, he has got Krishna's mercy. Krishna is very merciful to them. Similarly, when somebody is struggling in life, people will say that Krishna is not happy with them. Material life, right? So, what we have to understand from the properly these things from Bhagavatam is this material happiness and material distress is not Krishna's blessing or Krishna's rejection of us. It has nothing to do with it. Whatever we are experiencing here materially, happiness or distress, has nothing to do with Krishna being happy with us or Krishna is against us. This is a false concept people have developed due from their mind. It has nothing to do with the reality, right? Our happiness and distress is created by ourselves. How? Because Krishna gives the results of our karma. Whatever we have done in the past, at some point in time, it fructifies. And it comes in our life in some form. Sometimes you can see this. It's a little subtle thing to understand that the karma bhaladhava, that is Krishna's position. For non-devotees, for who are not taken Krishna consciousness seriously, majority of the people in this world are, in their life, Krishna's relationship with them is like this. He doesn't love them, he doesn't hate them. His relationship is such that according to their prarabdha karma, the life will go for them. The life will happen to them. Happiness or distress. And that account we don't know how our prarabdham is maturing every moment. Every day, a part of the prarabdham we are living through. And that's why this body is called the prarabdham. And this prarabdham has to be faced. That is given to you, whether you like it or not. And that will happen. So, there the relationship is, he is karma bhaladadava. That means Krishna deals with them purely on this basis that when the fructification of the karma happens, the results is given to them. That much Krishna does for them, right? So, and the relationship is only that much between them and Krishna, only based on this results of the karma, what is being given to them, right? So there the relationship is karma bhala dadava. That means one who gives the results of the karma is Krishna, and the one who receives that is the devotee, you can call it like that, right? There is no other relationship between them, right? Practically there is no relationship. He is doing his karma and his karma results are coming accordingly, and Krishna has to provide the results. Very fair, and there is no other involvement in there, right? But due to our ignorance, we say that when somebody is prospering in life, we say that Krishna is very pleased with them. That's why he's prospering, right? And sometimes you see some people who have gone prosperous in life, suddenly they lose everything in business or in their life, health or something like that, and they drop down again. It happens. We don't say anything about that at that moment. That the fact is this, that karma is controlling their life all the time. It's controlled, right? So when they fall down from their opulent state or happy state to some horrible, miserable life, it may appear to us that Krishna has given up on them. Krishna is not happy with them. This is our mind is causing this problem, right? And we will tell others also that, look, Krishna is not happy, that's why he's suffering like this, right? So, this kind of thoughts that Krishna is happy with somebody or Krishna is unhappy with someone, these things does not affect proper devotees. Devotees are not affected by that. For devotees are concerned, Krishna is always Ahaituki Kripa Sindhu, that he is always kind to people, right? That means he only knows how to bless people. He only knows how to bless people, right? He doesn't give trouble to anybody. That's not Krishna's position. He has no intention giving trouble to anyone, right? So you can look at this, that thing is all explained by Uddhava here. Uddhava is talking about Krishna as much as he has understood about Krishna's relationship. So that's why it's so important to read these chapters, particularly this third chapter, where Tridiye Madhirameti Vrajan Kamsavadhyam Ilkritam Dwaragayamja Krishna Tadavarnayal. Where Uddhava talks about Krishna's relationship with the devotees. What he is saying here is that Krishna doesn't have any ill feeling or hate or wants to punish someone. He does not know that. Krishna doesn't do that to anybody, right? Look at Pandavas themselves, he said. That's why you have to understand it properly, by the way Uddhava has spoken about it. They gambled, who? Pandavas. They lost everything, right? And Yudhishthira made a lot of blunders there by getting involved in this. Yeah, got involved with that. And Yudhishthira should have known that it was Maya, this gambling business is Maya, right? Gambling is against dharma. It's not allowed, right? And some people make this propaganda that, oh, they are kings, they are allowed to gamble. It's dharmam for them, because they are kshatriyas and they are kings, right? No, Shastram says that. Shastram doesn't say, because they are kings, they are allowed to gamble. It's not there, right? Actually, they also know it is bad for them. These four things we said, gambling, then hunting, then womanizing, and fighting. This is all asakti for the kshatriyas. It is kshatriya's nature, kshatriya has got these weaknesses in them. Mrigasakti, dyutasakti, stri sakti, and yuddhasakti. They have, because of the rajovanam inside them, they have got this problem. All kshatriyas have got that. Yeah. They like to gamble, they like to hunt, they like to womanize, and they like to fight. These things, right? And these are faults in the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriya body has got these problems, right? But none of them is injunction from the Shastram. Shastram doesn't tell them to do it. No Shastram says that anywhere. So, when he was invited by Duryodhana to gamble, right? And he should not have accepted that. But he accepted that. Who? Yudhishthira. Because of the vasana inside, right? So, if you have not accepted that, probably you will be called, oh, you are a coward. You are a coward. That's why you are not accepting that, right? Let them do that. But because of that, you don't become a coward. This is what the problem is. With this, Yudhishthira's problem was that when he was called in to gamble, Yudhishthira could have said no, but he didn't. Instead, he accepted that because he thought they will call him a coward for not accepting that, right? So, in this way, there are so many misunderstandings about things in life, right? So, because of that, a lot of dangers happen in life, right? So, in order to satisfy the conditions of the society or demands of the society, we act in a particular way in life so that the society is happy with you, right? And it is not necessary that due to that sometimes a lot of problems also happen due to that, right? So, due to this reason only, Yudhishthira accepted the gambling first, right? He gambled, right? And with the result was that he lost everything and he suffered heavily from that, right? In that process, they lost Draupadi. They lost Draupadi even, right? Ultimately, Dhritarashtra agreed and gave everything back to them. And they were told that you can go to Indraprastham and live there. At that moment, when Dhritarashtra said that, Duryodhana again invited him to gamble. Dhritarashtra told him, you can go to Indraprastham and live there, because they separated, Hastinapur and Indraprastham separated. So they could have gone to Indraprastham, but Yudhishthira didn't do that. Again, Duryodhana called him to gamble, and again he played. He gambled, and again he lost. Right? So, Duryodhana was clever enough. He called Shaguni to play on his behalf. Shaguni was a cheater. He knew how to cheat in the gambling, right? But he could have, Yudhishthira could have avoided that, because Duryodhana should have played instead of Shaguni. Duryodhana was cunning enough, sent Shaguni to play, and in that process, Yudhishthira lost everything. So, there were so many faults on Yudhishthira's side, what happened at that moment. They lost everything, and then they were expelled from the kingdom. They had to go to the forest, right? So, when they got to the forest, everybody abused Yudhishthira. This is all in the Mahabharata you can find, not in the Bhagavatam, not mentioned. When they got to the forest, everybody abused Yudhishthira for his stupidity, the way he acted. That's how it is. And it doesn't matter whether it is Yudhishthira or not, doesn't matter. Then when they got to the forest, they abused him. Right? There is one whole parvam. Mahabharatam is divided into parvam. Bhishma parvam, Shanti parvam, Vana parvam, like that. This Vana parvam is all the abuses to Yudhishthira by all the family members and all others who are supporting the Pandavas, right? Told him. Yudhishthira kept quiet. Didn't say one word. He couldn't say anything because things have all gone wrong completely, right? He heard everything. And finally, after hours and hours, others have blamed him. He answered them all in a very few verses. Who? Yudhishthira. What did he say? He said, whatever you have spoken is all correct. I agree with that, he said. Yudhishthira said this. He said, you have blamed me and I am responsible for that. I accept that. And it is only because of me that we have lost everything, right? And you're, we are in trouble now, like the way we are in this forest. No place to live properly, no food to eat, and in a with the old mother, Kunti Devi, and these five children, we are in the, five of them in the forest, in this condition we have reached, got here, because of my mismanagement, by my nonsense, what I have done. But there is one thing he said to them. He said that this does not disturb me in the sense that I have a relationship with Krishna. I have a relationship with Krishna. And I am always loyal to him. And I do respect him and love him. I have that much in my heart, he said. And when I am in difficulties, he says, Yudhishthira is saying, I don't judge him based on my conditions in life. What I am going through my life now is something I am meant to go through my karma. It has nothing to do with Krishna, he said. Who? Yudhishthira says this, right? And I never trusted Krishna, or I have developed an attachment to him, not based on my material life, what I get in my life. If I get a lot of wealth and comforts, I think that Krishna has provided everything. And when I am in trouble, I start thinking that he is against me. I never developed that attitude. Who says? Yudhishthira says, like that, right? So, in my mind all the time, my relationship with him is that, whatever situation I am in my life, good or bad, I should still feel the same affection for him, for Krishna. This is all what I wanted, always, he said. So, I have my own weaknesses, he says, Yudhishthira says, right? For example, I like gambling. Yudhishthira says, I like gambling. And I also like enjoying life, all these things. That's my weakness, but I admit that. And it is because of my weaknesses that I am punished for that purposes, right? And that I accept that, he said. I accept that. I don't have a problem, he said. But I never developed a relationship with Krishna on the basis what he gives me and what he doesn't give me. Not on that basis. I have no relationship with Krishna that way. See, this is how we understand from Pandavas. Pandavas have told us a lot of things like this from their life, right? So, so I never developed my relationship with Krishna on this basis, that depending on what he gives me and what he doesn't give me, right? So my nature is always to serve him and feeling respectful to him and love him. I see Krishna that way. I don't want to bring Krishna into my material life, what I'm going through here, he said. So if all these things have happened, I will not curse Krishna for this, what situation I have ended up, right? So this is an important lesson to learn. A proper devotee will under no circumstances will bring Krishna into his material life and start judging Krishna on that basis, right? So, so start thinking that Krishna is responsible for my suffering in this world. He will never think like that, nor he will speak like that to anybody, right? In all negative situations, negative circumstances, right, he will always think that Krishna is very magnanimous. Krishna is very kind to him. Krishna has a love for him. Krishna will look after me. That feeling will devotee will have all the time, right? And that's the only way he will think, who a proper devotee. He will also think that I have a lot of bad things in me, my bad habits or bad vasanas in me, right? So because I have all those things, these things are happening to me, this punishment in life. Krishna is punishing me for that reason. I am alone responsible for my own destiny. Only me. I am responsible for my destiny. And I have to get rid of those bad vasanas, what I have in me. And that's the way how a devotee will think, right? So, due to these, my bad propensities or bad vasanas in my chittam, therefore Krishna has given, these things have happened to me in my life, right? So, he will try to give up those things. This is how a devotee will think. So, bhakta or a devotee will never think of Krishna, that he is one who gives you some material happiness sometimes, and he takes away your material happiness sometimes. Devotee never thinks like that. He does not develop a relationship with Krishna in that way. That is a devotee. Pandavas are teaching us that lesson, right? So, when Uddhava is saying this, Uddhava is saying that. And because it is like that, Uddhava says, one should never think that Krishna is fond of someone or Krishna has some enmity towards anybody, hate towards anyone, right? Devotee thinks Krishna is always very compassionate and merciful. He relates with Krishna on another level, not based on his material happiness. This is a big lesson to learn from Pandavas, right? So, in this way, a lot of things Uddhava said to Vidura, right? And he told him that if I talk about Krishna, he said, because Uddhava had spent a long time with Krishna, and he has seen the devotees also who are coming to Krishna, different types of devotees. And he sensed that different nature in the devotees, how they relate with Krishna, right? So, here what you find, from avirbhavam to tirodhanam, that from appearance to disappearance, everything Uddhava spoke in summary form, verse by verse by verse, everything what happened, right? And Vidura heard all that, and one whole night, they talked to each other, who? Uddhava and Vidura, right? And both of them are great personalities, great devotees, isn't it? Mahabhagavatar they are. Uddhava and Vidura, both of them are Mahabhagavatars. So when they talk to each other, you will get something from that, some benefit from them, because they understand things better, right? So they spend the like that, and that's what this whole chapter is, yeah. So then what else was then there? You find some interesting things there in that. That Uddhava says in that second chapter, in the 11th verse, if you look, you see what he says? Pradarshya tapta tapasa avitrapta drisham nranam adaya andara dadhyastu so bimbam loka lochanam. He's saying that normal people who does not perform any kind of austerities or penances in life, they are always looking for some happiness in life, right? And they are not performing any penances, right? And they want to enjoy life, satisfy their senses, right? For them, for ordinary people, Krishna has shown them who he is at some point. And Krishna has, by showing the form alone to them, Krishna has stolen their eyes, right, and disappeared from this world. What Uddhava was saying there is that people who have no interest in Krishna consciousness, not doing any sadhana or upasana or seriousness in spiritual life, right? For them, any amount of suffering in life will not make any change of heart for them. They are suffering in life, But they will not be, they won't have any change of heart, right? You see their word, padrashya tapta tabasa, avitrupta drisham nirnam. This avitrupta drisham means that. Avitrupta drisham means that not no tripti in life, no satisfaction in life, lot of miseries in life, and they are going through it day after day after day, but still not turning towards a solution to the problems, right? That means the sense gratification is so strong in them. They have, you can see this in people, they have seen a lot in this world, gone here, gone there. Still at the old age also they are running, want to see new places, want to see some. What is there to see? They can't think like that. They are seeing something new they want to see, right? So, the reason Bhagavatam is saying that these thoughts are coming to somebody only for one reason. What you have to see, you haven't seen. This is why it is. You know, sometimes in Bhagavatam, they will present these things, some very important Vedantic principles through stories they will present. Yeah? They are saying that this feeling that I have to go to another place, every few months I have to go on a holiday somewhere and see some new place so that I can chant my rounds there. That's its excuse for that. But this is all bogus, completely bogus, because you have not understood anything from Bhagavatam. What you have to learn from Bhagavatam, you have not understood. Bhagavatam is saying that this feeling, desire all the time coming in, I have to go here, I have to go there, is because, and want to see something new, what you have not, you have been seeing so many things, but you want to see something new. This is happening because you haven't seen what you have to see in this world. You haven't seen that. That is why. It will come here, gopis also will say the same thing later, right? What you have to see, you haven't seen, right? That is the reason that you feel that any amount of seeing things, you are not satisfied. You want to see again. So, people who are like that, for them, Krishna has shown His beauty to them, and that form, divine form, when He presented Himself to them, and finally satisfied their eyes, and gave them plenty of happiness, and when that was completed, Krishna left this world, disappeared from this world, taken that form off. This topic will come in the 10th canto, in the 20th chapter. What is seeing means? We will talk about it at that time. Because there are so many things to understand from Bhagavatam, right? We have got eyes, and what's the purpose of these eyes? To see Krishna. To see Krishna. That's the purpose of the eyes. We haven't understood that. We are thinking the eyes are for sense gratification, to see new places all the time, right? So, gopis have found out this, that if you have seen the right thing with your eyes, then you don't want to see anything anymore after that, right? And when you lose the opportunity to see that particular object, what you have seen, then if you have seen that properly, then you don't want to see anything else after that, right? So, there is nothing more beautiful than Krishna here in this world, right? So, in this way, Krishna has stolen the eyes and their heart, and Krishna left this world, Uddhava said. So, how he says that? Is that he's taken away that form from them. The form was taken away from them. So, those who have not even done any sadhana, even they were able to see that form at that time, and they also experienced a certain happiness. So finally he says in the 12th verse, enmartya leelau paigam soyogam mayabalam darshayata grihitam vismapanam sasyaja saubhagarde parampadam bhushana bhushanangam. A very famous verse in the Bhagavatam. He says, Vismapanam susraja saubhagardhe പരംപദം ഭൂഷണ ഭൂഷണാംഗം മായാബലം ദർശയത ഗൃഹീതം. വാട്ട് ഡസ് ദാറ്റ് മീൻ? ദിസ് ഫോം, കൃഷ്ണസ് ഫോം, ഈസ് എ ഫോം ദാറ്റ് കംസ് ഫ്രം യോഗമായ. ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് കം ഫ്രം മഹാമായ, ഓർ ഇറ്റ്സ് നോട്ട് കമ്മിങ് ഫ്രം അവിദ്യാമായ, ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് കമ്മിങ് ഫ്രം വിദ്യാമായ, കൃഷ്ണസ് ഫോം, റൈറ്റ്? And this amazing form, Krishna's form, is to show to the world the power of Krishna's Maya, Yoga Maya's power, to show to the world this form has come, right? So depending on the devotee's attachment to different forms, Ramachandra's form, Narasimhamurti's form, or any other form in that way, Krishna's form, none of these forms comes under creation of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma did not create any of these forms. Normally all creation is from Brahma. But none of these forms, what we see from Krishna, has been come from Brahma. For example, if you look that Krishna also, when he came, he first comes into Vasudeva's heart. Is it not? Vasudeva's heart, right? And from Vasudeva's heart, he went into Devaki's heart. From heart to heart, right? So, Vasudev, who got the power to transmit Krishna from his heart to Devaki's heart, that is how transmission happened. It's not a seminal transmission. From heart, Vasudeva's heart, Krishna was transmitted to Devaki's heart, right? So, and from Devaki's heart, Krishna was born. It was not like any other birth. This is what we have to understand from the Avatara Leela, past times, Krishna's appearance in this world. So, this birth of Krishna is not like any other birth. Krishna appeared in Vasudeva's heart first. Vasudeva transmitted, because Vasudeva has got that power, spiritual power, given to him by Krishna, that he was able to transmit it from his heart to Devaki's heart, and from Devaki's heart Krishna appeared. So it's a different type of birth that has happened. And first of all, he appeared as Narayana form, four-handed form he appeared. And then in that way he got transmitted from Vasudeva's heart to Devaki's heart, and then from Devaki's heart he came in the four-handed form into this world. It is after that he took the two-handed form, human form, he has taken after that. So from there itself we can understand that this form, what has come to this world, does not belong to Brahma's creation. It is not from Brahma's creation, right? Actually, it is Krishna's Yogamaya doing this whole thing, right? So, in order to show the power of that Yogamaya to this world, and Krishna, who has no form, Krishna is pure consciousness, he is Brahman, isn't it? Pure consciousness, Chaitanyam it is, Chaitanya Swarupam, Satya Chitta Anandam, that's what he is. So, he has given this beautiful form to this world through the power of Yogamaya. Yogamaya did everything. That Sachidananda Swarupam has taken this form with the help of Yogamaya. Yogamaya created this. So, Sridhara Swami calls that is Chidananda Khana Swarupam. That's the word he has used in the commentary. Chidananda Khana Swarupam, he says there. Right? That means Sachidananda Brahmam, Nirguna Brahmam, Niravara Brahmam, is like a huge ocean, pure consciousness, present everywhere, right? And it has no beginning, it has no end, and we don't even know the depth of it and how far it is spread, which means consciousness, right? Brahmam, consciousness. So it is like an ocean, and in that ocean, normally in an ocean, if the whole water gets frozen, it becomes solid. It becomes solid, right? Then it is not anymore, even though it's water and it's ocean, But it is in the form of ice when it becomes solid, right? So, it is this form, is that Brahman, Sachidananda Brahman, Paramatma Chaitanyam, taken, become a solid and has come in a form, and that is that form. Yogamaya has created, right? So, bhakti is normally compared to moon in Shastra. In all the Shastrams you will find, bhakti is normally compared to moon, knowledge is compared to sun, jnanam is compared to surya, and bhakti is compared to the sun, the moon, right? So, when Sachidananda Brahman, Paramatma Chaitanyam, when it becomes solid through bhakti, and in that way, it becomes very solid, Chidananda Khanaswarupam, Khanibhudam, Sachidanandam is Krishna. Chidananda Swarupam, Khanibhuda Sachidanandam, it says. Khanibhuda means solidified, Sachidananda Brahma, Paramatma is Krishna, right? Through the power of Yoga Maya, Sachidananda Brahman can accept many different forms for the sake of the devotee, right? And that is what we call as Ishta Devada. Different forms, Varaham, Narasimham, Malsyam, Balaram, Parashuram, Shri Ram, all are different forms that Brahman accepts for the pleasure of the devotee, right? So, that is what we call as Ishta Devada Swarupam, Shri Parvati Swarupam, Lord Shiva's form. These are all different forms coming from the same Sachidananda Brahman, right? And all of them are Ghanibhudam. Ghanibhudam means solidified Sachidananda Swarupam, right? So, due to the power of Yoga Maya, this is happening. Yoga Maya creates all these forms from Brahman, right? So, and when he takes the form, when that Sachidananda Brahman takes a form, then it is a opportunity for the devotees to connect with him, because there is a form there at that time. So, and due to that, we are able to see the Sachidanandam. We are able to hear the Sachidanandam. You can even touch the Sachidanandam. So, Sachidanandam had generally on its own, Sachidananda Brahman, you cannot enjoy Sachidananda Brahman through your senses, normally. Because Sachidananda Brahman is pure consciousness, and senses don't have any access to that, right? So, therefore, taking the help of Maya, with the help of Maya, it comes in some form, which is called Chidananda Ghana Swarupam, which we call as Ishta Devada Swarupam. That is why so many different forms are coming from that. Dashavadaram, Malsya Kurma, Varahana, Simham, like that. Then other forms also, different forms, Sri Parvati's form, Ganesha's form. All these are forms coming from that Sachidanandam. And when you get a form like that, you have a possibility of connecting with that form through the senses. If there is no form, you can't do anything with the senses, right? So you can experience through the senses of any of these forms, right? So in this way, through this accepting a form, Yogamaya showed her capacity to produce different forms like this, and Krishna's form is one of that, right? So, Khanibhuda Sachidananda Vigraha, Chidananda Swarupam, that is what Krishna's actual identity is, right? And all that beauty, what you find in that, is the beauty of Sachidanandam, what Yogamaya has created in that, and that beauty is not belonging to Pancha Bhaudigam. That means material elements, right? Material elements on its own has no beauty. Any material element, earth, water, air, ether, and this creation is nothing but a mixture of all that, right? So material elements on its own has no beauty. The beauty of anything, say you go anywhere and you see something very beautiful, we must understand that Krishna has manifested there more, right? And similarly, this Pancha Bhautikam, that means these five material elements, it is not what is used in creating Krishna's body. Krishna's body has not come from that, right? The beauty of that body is that, is the beauty of Sachidananda. Such that these things are, if you read and think about it, you can understand that, that Krishna's presence makes everything different. As I mentioned before, that if you see something and if you find that it is existing there, where is it getting its reality from? Krishna's presence in that. Satya Chitta Anandam Namam Rupam. Namam and Rupam is coming from Maya. Satya Chitta Anandam is Krishna. So it is Sachidanandam's presence in anything is giving reality to that. If Krishna is not there in that, you won't see its existence like this. You won't see it through the senses. The senses are saying, eyes are saying to us, it is there. How? Because eyes are experiencing it inside, and that experience we are getting because of Krishna's presence in there. We must not forget this. This will come in the Bhagavatam many times, right? So, the beauty of that form, Krishna's form, is not coming from material elements. It is instead beauty of the Sachidanandam. Sachidanandam's presence is what you find in Krishna's form, Sachidanandam. And that is not material beauty. It's not the material beauty. And that is why you see there, Maya balam darshayata grihidam vismabanam susrija saubhagar dehe parampadam bhushana bhushanangam. Uddhava one day went to see Krishna. And when he went there, Krishna was looking in the mirror, the form himself. And he didn't know that Uddhava was waiting outside. So Uddhava thought, what is Krishna looking at? He was admiring his own beauty in the mirror. Vismavanam susrija saubhagarde, he says. He has, in that process, he has forgotten himself. Krishna has forgotten himself. Vismavanam susrija saubhagarde, parampadam bhushana bhushana, parampadam bhushana bhushanangam. He said, and Uddhava asked, woke up Krishna, what are you looking at? Krishna says that I am looking at myself, he said. Because even Krishna was surprised, the beauty, seeing that beauty, or his own beauty, that we also look at mirrors to see our beauty, isn't it? We only look once, then we don't want to look anymore. By then, we had enough of it. But here, Krishna was looking, Vismabhanam susija saubhagarde, he says, parambadam bhushana bhushirangam. So, this is how it is, that Sachidananda beauty, Yogamaya knew how to bring that beauty outside. And that Yogamaya's creation, and so that beautiful form Krishna saw, and Krishna was stunned by seeing that beauty, what Yogamaya has created in that form. Otherwise, Krishna is actually Sachidananda Sarupam, Satya Chitta Anandam it is. But this form that has come is Yogamaya's power. That created that form, right? So he looked at the mirror, and sometimes we also do. Sometimes we say that we forget the world and looking at mirror. Somebody will come and tell you, what are you looking at? The people say like that, isn't it? What is it you keep on looking at you sometimes? So like Brahma, they say. So here, what has happened is, Brahma itself was looking at Brahma. And getting completely lost in that process, right? So, Sachidananda Vigraham, Sachidananda Khana Vigraham is so amazing thing that is, right? Such a beauty, Nirvama Saundaryam, that means it cannot be compared with anything else, right? And it was present in every part of the body, beauty, right? So, and that form, nobody could create a form like that. Brahma could not have created that. That only Yogamaya could create that. Right? And that has increased. That's why it's in the next verse. Yad dharma sunor badaraja suye nirikshadrik sustainam trilokaha karsnyena chadyeha gadam vidhadu tarvaksudau kaushalamityam anyataha. That in Rajasuyam sacrifice, Yudhishthira offered respects to Krishna, Agrasana Puja. He performed there. Krishna accepted all that and he looked very impressive. As I mentioned before, few instances in the while here, Krishna has shown who he is. Very rarely though, 3 or 4 instances, right? And Rajasuyam was one of that, where Krishna exhibited his opulence, exhibited himself properly, and made everyone realize who he is by that very presence itself, right? So at that moment, Lord Shiva saw that form, what was shown. And he said that, Lord Shiva said that Lord Brahma has put all his abilities in creating this form, seeing that beauty there, right? So he said, Lord Shiva said, that maximum talent what Brahma has got in creation, he has created, shown that in this form. He says like that, right? He won't be able to create anything better than this, Lord Brahma, right? His skill in creation, he has completely utilized in this, and he has created this form, he said. So Lord Shiva saw it like that while in the Rajasuyam, right? But reality is, Krishna's that form does not come under Lord Brahma's creation. Lord Brahma didn't create that. Even though Lord Shiva has spoken in that way, we have to understand that it has not come in that creation. Actually, it is the creation of Yogamaya. Yogamaya created that, right? So, ordinary people who were present there in Rajasuyam sacrifice, for them to understand, because they won't understand Yogamaya. They only Brahma everybody understand as creator. So in order to satisfy them, Lord Shiva spoke like that. That this is the perfection of Brahma's creation in that way. So even once, if your eyes got attracted to that form, then you will not forget that form again. It will stay within your heart, right? Krishna will take a place in his heart forever, permanently. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful what Krishna presented in the Rajasuyam, right? Not only the form, the words he spoke as well, right? So sometimes Krishna attracts devotees through his speech. And there are many examples like that. Krishna has attracted devotees through speech as well, right? And some Mahatmas also have got that capacity. Through their speech, they will attract them. And you won't be able to give up listening to them. There's a story about Paramahamsa like this. He had a devotee. In them days, there was no transport facilities like today. You had to cross Ganga River through the boat. That was the system, right? So once it so happened that one devotee came and he had to travel with Paramahamsas across the river. While he was traveling, Paramahamsa spoke about Bhadragali, the deity he was worshipping at Dakshineshwar. And 3.5 hours the journey lasted from one side to the other. He spoke about Bhadragali's beauty. And another 3.5 hours while returning from there. 7 hours he spoke. And this devotee who was listening to it from Paramahamsa, he never forgotten that. He has only seen him once in his life, but he remembered these 7 hours what he spoke, everything. It stayed in his heart, never left him, right? So his heart was stolen by Paramahamsa when he spoke about Bhadragali like that. So such an experience ordinary people had many times in life, right? And so Krishna attracts devotees through his beauty and through his words, what he spoke. Look at the next verse. Yasya anuraga pludaha sarasa lilava loga pradilabdhamanaha vrajastriyo drugbi anupravartadhiyo vadastya kilakritya sheshaha. that Krishna is going with the cows and the calf and with the friends, well decorated in the morning. And at that time, Gopi stood there and looked at him. Krishna going to the forest, the 20th chapter in the 10th canto, right? So at that time, Krishna looked at everyone and smiled, right? And sometimes through his glance, eye glancing at others, he will bless them. That just a glance, that's all, right? So when Krishna goes away to the Vrindavanam with the cows, with the calves, with these boy, cowherd boys, friends, together, all together, Krishna and Balaram used to go to the forest every day to play in the forest, right? And while going, these gopis will stand outside and look at them. And at that moment, Krishna will look at the gopis also and glance at them. And that was enough for them. They were satisfied with that, right? So when they saw that, the beauty of Krishna at that moment, they will stay there like pillars. They could not move from there, seeing that beauty of that. And when after some time Krishna has disappeared from their vision, the mind will follow him, even though eyes cannot follow anymore, right? By now, the form of Krishna would have manifested in the heart of the gopis, right? And they will relish that form of Krishna to such an extent inside their heart, and they will stand there for some time in that way. And this became a daily thing, daily habit, right? Any amount of seeing Krishna, they were not satisfied, the gopis, right? And interesting thing there is, after some time, gopis lost interest in seeing anything else in this world. After seeing this form, day after day after day, going to the forest with the cowherd boys and the cows and the calves and Balaram together, Krishna and Balaram walking like this, they saw that, and after that, gopis don't want to see anything else because Krishna has gone inside and their mind does not want anything else. That form what they have seen in the morning. And they were waiting for the evening to come when they were coming back from the forest to look at them. So, important thing is that if you have seen Krishna properly, then you don't want to see anything else after that. All desires will go, right? And a devotee does not want to see anything else after he has seen Krishna's beauty. So, and with that, your desire for seeing different things will leave us. It will not be there, right? So, why? Because they have seen what is to be seen. Why? And that's why we are saying that we want to see so many things in this world, different places. We want to go to all these kind of, you know, this holiday industry. It's running on that principle, isn't it? For a week here or week there and getting some pleasure from that. This is because they haven't seen what is to be seen. They haven't seen that, right? So, this is the problem for ordinary people. But for a devotee, his five senses only wants to see this form, nothing else, right? And similarly, any amount if you hear about them, about Krishna, eyes will be satisfied if you see Krishna. You don't want to see any other form after that. In the same way, ears also. Any amount of hearing about Krishna will not satisfy us, right? We can see there, if you have come to Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you have got some taste for Bhagavatam, right, then you don't want to hear anything mundane topic in this world. Attraction goes away. Automatically it will leave us. Because while hearing, if you got that taste for Bhagavatam, and if you felt that an attachment there, a connection with Bhagavatam, then you don't want to hear anything else after that. That's why it says there that ears are meant to hear about Krishna, right? So, sabhalya means perfection of that is when you start hearing about Krishna and you are relishing it, right? then you don't want to hear anything. And about Krishna, any amount of you hear about Krishna, you will never be satisfied. That it's something, it's not spoken very lightly. This is from the experience of the great souls, they are saying this, right? And you will lose interest in talking about other mundane things in this world. You won't find any attraction for that, right? Similarly, about Krishna, when you start talking from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or from other Vedic literatures also, right? And if you have got a taste in talking about that, then you lose taste in talking about other things in this world, right? So similarly, eyes and the ears, and same thing with all other senses as well, right? So their perfection is not gratifying the senses, but rather enjoying Krishna through those senses, right? And that happiness what you get in engaging the in service of Krishna or in enjoying Krishna through the senses, whether it is eyes or ears or tongue or touch or smell, whatever it may be, once you have got it, then you will see that you lose taste for everything else in this world. You won't feel comfortable with anything else. You won't feel any attraction for anything. Politics, business, sports, all other kinds of mundane things in this world, you won't find any attraction for them. You will become free from that. And also, when you use the senses in that way, you feel that your senses are properly engaged. You feel perfection in that. And also you will feel there is nothing else to be done in this world, right? And in that way, you get the control of your senses. Yeah? That's how devotee controls his senses. He gets the control over his senses because his mind, his senses are only interested in hearing about Krishna, in talking about Krishna, in seeing Krishna, tasting Krishna's remnants. And once the body and the mind has got used to that, then it will not go into any sense objects. It will have no attraction there. And this is how you win the control over your senses in the bhakti process. Unlike in the jnana margam. In bhakti margam, you control the senses in this way, right? So, in jnana margam, you forcefully control. In the jnana margam, forcefully you have to control your senses, right? But in bhakti, in a natural way, it happens this way. So, in this way, Uddhava glorified Krishna's beauty to say how devotees are seeing that beauty and got the control over their senses, right? Sushandarube Shidre Iswarupe Abhyardhyamani Shanagam Vidalpma Paravaresho Mahadamsha Yukto Ajobi Jato Bhagavan Yatha Agni. 15th verse, right? So, there are three different types of people in this world. Three different types. One, Shandam. Shandam means peaceful, not giving trouble to anybody, peacefully living their life. Other one, Khoram. Khoram means they will do a lot of things in this world, give a lot of trouble to other people, and exploit others and things like that. Khoram. And then, Shandam is the they're called the rishis who have got that nature, Satugunam, normally, Satugunam. And demigods, they are all in that. We are not only talking about the earth, the whole planetary systems. So demigods, the rishis, they all are Shandam, peaceful state they are. Ghoram is the asuras, the demons, right? So sometimes the asuras try to give a lot of trouble to rishis and the demigods, Shandasurup, devotees, all of them, right? So at that time, in order to protect them, with the help of Yogamaya, Krishna comes in some form, right? So, it is, what he is saying here is, fire is present in everything, In everywhere there is fire present. Fire is present in the water as well. But in a very subtle form. In a very subtle form. So, but you have to generate fire from different things. That's why during the sacrifices from Arani, by churning that, at that time fire comes out from that. Similarly, Krishna is present in the whole creation. He is pure Sachidanandam. And he is present everywhere. And when you churn in the same way, when that Sachidanandam who is present everywhere, in everything, when it is working with Yogamaya and takes a form, only then we can perceive that. Sachidanandam is pure Brahman, pure consciousness. Sachidananda Paramatma, Satya Chitta Anandam. We can't perceive that, isn't it? But when Sachidanandam with Yogamaya takes a form and comes, then we can perceive that. That is the benefit of having the form, right? So he's saying there, Mam Khedayatya Tadajasya Janmam Vidambanam Yad Vasudeva Gehe Vrajeja Vasoi Bhayadiva Swayam Puradhu Vasi Ananda Viryaha. He's saying that Krishna's presence in this creation, for example, Yama, Andaga, he is present here and he is doing his duty, taking people away from this world when their time is due, right? Even that death personified, he is frightened of Krishna, right? When Krishna appeared, Uddhava is saying this, he is saying when Krishna appeared, as though he is frightened of Kamsa, and he decided to transfer himself to Gokulam. From the prison in Mathura, Krishna decided to transfer himself to Gokulam and give an impression that he was frightened of Kamsa in that way, right? So Vasudev took him and brought him to Gokulam. Actually, Krishna was not frightened, but it appears as though he was frightened in that way. And Vasudev and Devaki was frightened that if Kamsa comes to know that Krishna has come in the prison as their son, they were frightened about themselves, life, they will be killed with them. So even though Vasudev and Devaki knew that this is not an ordinary child, this is Krishna himself who had come, and Krishna told them who he is, in the prison itself, told them about their past also, previous life, and what Krishna was at that time, all those things. So Vasudeva and Devaki understood that this is the person who had come to kill Kamsa. Vasudeva and Devaki understood that, right? But at the same time, they were worried. If Kamsa was waiting there, he has told the gatekeepers to inform him when Devaki has a child. So they were frightened about Kamsa. If Kamsa comes, will he do something to this child and to us? What will happen, right? So in this way, due to seeing their fear in Vasudev and Devaki, Krishna told Vasudev, take me to Gokulam, to Nanda Maharaj's place, and bring her from there here. Who? Yogamaya. Yogamaya has appeared there at that time. So, in this pretext, on this pretext, Krishna spent 12 years there with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi in Gokulam and Vrindavanam. On this pretext, Uddhava is saying, does he need all these things? Does he have to do all these things? He is saying about Krishna certain things here, right? So, then after 12 years he comes to Mathura and he kills Kamsa there, right? And these 12 years, Krishna decided to spend some time with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda in Gokulam and in Vrindavanam, right? Instead, if Krishna wanted to kill Kamsa, he didn't have to go to Gokulam or to Vrindavanam or anything. On the very spot, Kamsa would have come to see him, and there itself Kamsa would have finished. There itself. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He decided to do it in a different way. This is all to show to us that Krishna has to act like a human child. That how he is frightened about Kamsa, how he is frightened about all the demons, as though he gives an impression that he is a human child, in order to impress people in that way, right? But he decided that he has some other pastimes to do with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and with the gopis. So he decided to spend the time there with them. And therefore, when Devaki mentioned about their fear, that's how it is in the Bhagavatam, when they mentioned about their fear, he said, okay, we will take me to Gokulam then and leave me there. And they went to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, because Krishna had this plan also. He just wanted to give some time for Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and to the gopis. That was already decided before, right? So, whenever any incarnation happens, there are many things getting done. And those plans and the thoughts behind it, we won't know it. We won't know it, what is behind that, right? So, these are already decided before coming here. These decisions are already made, right? So, in Krishnavataram, what do you find there is that, in the same way, you have this Gokula Vrindavana Leela, Gokulam and Vrindavana Leela, and then you have the Mathura Leela, and then you've got the Dwaraka Leela, isn't it? So, three different places the Leela is happening, right? So, in order that the Gokula Vrindavana Leela happen, he has to go there, Krishna has to go there, right? Then after Kamsa was killed, Krishna came to Mathura, and then Kamsa was killed, then it also gives you an impression that he got frightened of Jarasandha and runs away from there, from Mathura. And then he ran away to Dwaraka and built a palace there and stayed there. And the impression he gave to people was he was frightened of Jarasandha. Just like he gave the impression in the beginning that he was frightened of Kamsa and ran away to Gokulam and Vrindavanam. Now, in Mathura, he gave the impression to everybody that he was frightened of Jarasandha and I'm running away from there. And that's how he goes to Dwaraka, isn't it? So Uddhava is asking, is this all was required? This running away like this, was it required? He says to Vidura, Uddhava says to Vidura, when I think about all these things, I just don't understand him. That's it. You see the 17th verse? Dinodi jeda smarado mama idadyudaha pada abhivandya pitroho ta ambakam sad urishanginanam prasidadam nokradanushkradinam. Uddhava is saying to Vidura, when I see all these things, what Krishna has done, I'm thinking, is this all required? But that is how Leela is. Krishna's Leela, nobody understands. Nobody understands Krishna's Leela. Then, again he's saying that after Krishna came to Mathura and killed Kamsa, right? Kamsa has locked up Devaki and Vasudev in the jail. So Krishna and Balaram goes to them and release them from the jail and says to them, offers obeisances to Vasudeva and Devaki and says to them, we have done a lot of mistakes in our life because of us that you people were put into prison, because of us, right? And we did not come and do any service to you all these 12 years. We stayed away from you and Krishna talks some philosophy there to Vasudeva and Devaki. He says, if a son cannot serve the parents at the time when they need in their life, he is not a son. He is like stool, he says. He is not a son, right? So, he does not deserve to be called as a son. We never got this opportunity to serve you this last 12 years, right? So, you should forgive us for our faults. In this way, Krishna and Balaram put Vasudeva and Devaki in such a situation that they could not control themselves. They started feeling affected by that words from Krishna, right? And Krishna and Balaram is crying and falling at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki at that moment, right? So when I am thinking about all this, Uddhava says, I just not understand him, he says. So Uddhava is able to understand Krishna's pastimes on a different level. He is saying that this is all nothing but Leela of Yogamaya. Yogamaya is doing all this Leela with Krishna, and we will never understand it properly. We will never understand it properly. Was it all required, he says. Uddhava is saying, is this all required? He has come in the human form and taught this society, human society, certain things in his appearance, right? Only for the sake of establishing dharma, right? Not otherwise. All things what Krishna has done in this world has only one purpose, dharma, establishing dharma. And we may not completely understand everything behind it. That is why all what Krishna has spoken and all things what Krishna has done, activities, is everything is for the benefit of the world, benefit of this world. Benefit for the world, but only those people who really understand who Krishna is, like Uddhava, they will find all these things very difficult. Which one? These pastimes. Because they understand him, who he is. That's the difference. We won't understand it because we don't understand Krishna. But Uddhava understands Krishna a lot, and he was thinking, was this all required from Krishna's side? Kova amushya angri sarojarenam vismartu mishida puman vijignan yo vispural bhru vidabena bhumer bharam kridandena tirashchakara. That one who has relished the dust from the lotus feet of Krishna, how can he forget Krishna, he says. That just by moving the eyelashes is enough to destroy this whole creation. To destroy this whole creation, right? Then such a person has to come in this form here and wait for 12 years to kill Kamsa and wait for another 100 years to have the Mahabharata war. All these things, he says to Vidura, I don't know how to explain these things. Because by now, Uddhava has advanced spiritually so much, understood who Krishna is. So, when you have come to that level of realization, you start looking at Krishna's pastimes, then you start wondering, is this all required for Krishna to do all this? See, right? So, and because to destroy all the wicked characters in this world, even though we say paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya dushkradam dharma samsthavanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge and all Bhagavad Gita says, does Krishna require all these things to destroy the evil characters? He doesn't. He doesn't require. Then earlier we said that Krishna doesn't have any hate towards anybody. Because Krishna is present in the Hiranyakashipu. Krishna is present in Kamsa also. Krishna is present in Sudama also. Krishna is present in the Gopis also. Everything is Krishna in everyone. So you can't hate yourself, can you? Krishna is present in everywhere. So Krishna is concerned, there is no hate towards anyone, right? But Krishna has to act sometimes in this way to remove that wickedness in a person. The wickedness in Kamsa, the wickedness in Hiranyakashipu, then wickedness he has to get rid of. He doesn't have anything against Hiranyakashipu or Kamsa. But that wicked nature in them, that has to be destroyed. And that for that, different types of punishment Krishna will have to engage in, he has to carry out, right? And sometimes that includes killing as well. Killing as well, right? So, some place people, you have to kill them and get rid of that wickedness from them, right? And some others, how to do that with the different people, who does it to be killed and who doesn't have to be killed, only Krishna knows. Only Krishna knows how to clear or purify us from our wicked nature, right? So, for some others, Krishna will remove their wickedness and allow them to stay in this world for some more time. For some more time. And they give that opportunity. But in everyone's case, it's not like that. For example, Kamsa, Putana, all these characters, they are very heavily sinful. Extraordinarily sinful. What Putana has done and what Kamsa has done, right? So, for them, for such people, he says, because they are so wicked inside, this ordinary punishment is not enough for them. And it is such people, such personalities like Kamsa, Putana, and many other big demons, in order that to purify them, they have to be killed. They have to be killed, right? And by doing that, actually Krishna has done them a favor. Why? If not, those people will have to go to the sinful, the hellish planets. And in the hellish planets, they may have to spend a very long period of time to get free from the sinful reactions. Right? So, instead of having that, a long time of punishment and suffering in the hellish planets, Krishna makes a decision in certain cases that he will kill them, and that may be for a very short period of time, that punishment. In a very short period of time, his long punishment which he should have to go through hellish world, Krishna changes that and makes that person to go through a death punishment straight away, kill him and releases him from that wickedness from him. That's what Krishna is doing, right? So, for a short period of time, when you get killed, while getting killed you get pain. That pain you can suffer, rather than going to hell and suffer there for a prolonged period of time. Right? So, he has saved him from that. So, basically what he's saying is that Krishna actually is kind to everybody, even with Kamsa and Putana. Right? So, Kamsa and Putana, they would have had otherwise a long period of hellish life, right? So, but Krishna's calculation is such that you take this now, death punishment, I'll kill you, and that way you're free from that. And you can see that, because after the death, they were given liberation and sent them to the spiritual world. So that means Krishna has taken that wickedness from them, purified them, and send them back to the spiritual world, right? So, wickedness was removed. So, then Uddhava says that a person who by just moving the eyelashes can destroy this whole creation, right? And for such a person, if he has done this to somebody, if it is not his compassion, what else is it? Uddhava is asking that question. Drishta bhavarmarnane rajasuye chaidyasya krishnam dushato obisiddhi yam yogina samsprahayandi samyak yogena kastadviraham saheta. That then he, Uddhava is giving certain examples from the Mahabharatam and Krishna's life to show to us how he understands Krishna. And if you understand the way Uddhava has spoken, you will find a lot of logic in that, what he is saying. He is saying, you all saw how Shishubala was killed. He is saying, how Shishubala was killed, right? So, yogis, they have to perform hundreds of years of sadhana, yoga sadhana, to have Krishna in the heart, right? But Krishna gave Shishubala in 1 second that liberation what yogis would get after hundreds of years of sadhana. That was given to Shishubala in 1 second by killing him, isn't it? So he died because of Krishna's hands. And how Shishubala became qualified to get liberation, this was explained by Narada Maharshi to Yudhishthira. If you remember the 7th canto, remember that? The story we discussed then. That how Shishubala became qualified for liberation, Narada Maharshi spoke about that to Yudhishthira. There he will say that, you remember that famous verses, Gopya Kamal Bhayal Kamsa, Desha Chaidyadayo Nrupa, Sambandho Vrishnaya Snehal, Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho, he said. Then Shishubala got liberated because he hated Krishna. Continuously, he hated Krishna. And first instance, you may think that Krishna, Shishubala has offended Krishna. You'll get that impression, right? That is because we don't understand it properly, right? And first of all, can you offend Krishna? It is not possible. Why? Krishna is Sachidananda Brahman, he is. Offenses and all, when you are on the bodily concept, isn't it? You can offend, you offend someone, you abuse someone in the street, for example. Because you are thinking he is that body, and I am thinking I am this body. And I am offending him by talking. But once you are realized that you are Sachidananda Brahman, that person is Sachidananda Brahman, where is the offense there then? So, Krishna doesn't have bodily identity like we have, right? We don't, like we have. And not only that, he doesn't think he is Vasudeva and Devaki's son. Krishna doesn't think like that. We are imposing all this on him from our side. We are thinking Krishna is Vasudeva and Devaki's son, right? Krishna doesn't think like that. And Krishna doesn't think he was born among the Yadavas. He doesn't think like that, right? And even if Shishubala has insulted him, what does it matter to Krishna? One who is Atma Rama, one who is completely situated on the platform of the soul, how can you offend him by your abuse? You cannot do that. So, if you glorify him also the same thing, it won't have any impact on him. So, ninda or stuti, that means praise or insult, or glorification or abuse, whatever it may be, this is all for those who are identifying with the body. Isn't it? Only those who are identifying with the body, they are carried, affected by all these things, right? But one who knows that he is Sat Chitta Anandam, Sachidananda Brahman, right? Krishna is like that, and who has no bodily identification, for him, ninda, stuti, praise or insult, has no effect. Has no effect, right? Even Mahatmas who are self-realized, they are like that. What to talk about Krishna? Even ordinary Mahatmas who have realized the self, they don't get affected if you offend them. It doesn't get hurt them because they are not in the bodily level anymore, right? So, then why did he kill him then? If it was like that, why did he kill him? Who? Shishubala, right? Actually, he didn't kill him. Actually, he blessed him. It was a blessing for Shishubala, right? So, what he saw that was, by killing him, he realized, Krishna is realizing that Shishubala wants to come back to the spiritual world. He has come from there. Jaya, he is. Jaya Vijaya, out of Jaya, he is, right? So, but he could not come back. Why? Because of all these things what he has spoken, right? And therefore, he has some sinful reactions of what he did in Vaikuntham before, when he offended the Kumaras. At that time, Kumaras told Krishna that you should help him to come back here again. So, Krishna decided, I will kill him. And that way, that wickedness what was there in them, in Jaya or Shishubala, which made that vasana in him to offend the Kumaras, that vasana, I will remove that from him by killing him. Punishment it is, right? And such things, when you have such vasanas inside, by getting killed by Krishna, your miseries will be over with that. It won't cause any more problems, right? And that is a system, right? So, at the time has come now, end of life, and Krishna decided to remove that wickedness from Shishupala and wanted to make sure that what four Kumaras have spoken long ago has to become true. For that purpose, because Kumaras have told Krishna this thing, it has to come true. Therefore, Krishna decided to kill Shishupala. That's how it has happened, right? So, Shishupala was actually not killed. What he did was that he released him from his wickedness. It is this vasanas inside what we have. It's the wicked nature, what we got within us, isn't it? Ragam, dvesham, kamam, krotham. If that is taken out from us, then we also are pure. But that's not going. That's the problem. Right? So, one thing we have to... when he became free from his wickedness, he became Jaya again and went back to Vaikuntha. Right? So, one thing we have to understand here, Shishupala did not get liberated because of hate of Krishna, with dvesham, right? But due to his marana in a vidvesham way. This is a little difference between the two, if you understand it. That Shishupala did not hate Krishna, but he remembered Krishna in a hateful way, right? And due to that smarana, he became liberated. It is a smarana that has made that happen, right? So, smarana means that your mind becomes absorbed in something and become one with that, right? And he got liberated. That means his mind became so absorbed in Krishna and the mind got dissolved in Krishna at the end, right? And that turned into self-realization. So, the power of smarana is what is spoken in that. Throughout it is like that in the Bhagavatam, right? Kamsa, for example, in fear he was living, wasn't it? But actually it is not the fear that has caused it. That smarana during that 12 years. You know? Kamsa smarana. Again, I am saying this because Sri Shobhramashi mentioned this many before. Sodavya kirtidavyascha smartavyascha chadabhayam. He says. Isn't it? So that smarana is the most important thing. It's not, first of all, if Shishupala hating Krishna. First of all, Shishupala doesn't have hate for Krishna. But the way it happened was that it is in the hateful mood he has thought about Krishna. In a hateful mood. Kamsa thought about Krishna in a fearful mood. And because of that mood, the smarana was very strong. And it is that smarana that made them to get released from this world. Yeah. You can see the difference there. Smarana makes it. Big difference. Vidvesham, gopya kamal bhayal kamsa deshe chaityadayo nirbha. That verse. Huh? Sambandho vrishnaya snehal yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. Narada Maharshi told this to Yudhishthira. Because Yudhishthira wanted to understand, how is this happening? This is making no sense to me. I have done so much to please Krishna, but I am still here. The Shishupala comes and abuses and he goes back. He gets liberated. This is not making any sense to me, he said. What do I have to do now? He asked Narada Maharshi this question after in the Rajasuyam. So Narada Maharshi had to make Yudhishthira understand how liberation happens. It is not so simple as you think, he said. He said, Yudhishthira, when your smarana becomes strong, you will also get liberated. But your smarana is not strong enough like Shishupala had. And Shishupala, as far as you, how can you hate Krishna? Anybody can hate Krishna. who is present in everything and everywhere. So who are you hating? So Shishupala is not hating Krishna. What it is that the smarana of Krishna was in a hateful way. Or Kamsa was, smarana of Kamsa was in a fearful way. That's all it is. That's all what has happened. In that way they also got liberated, right? So if one develops that smarana, powerful smarana inside, due to that one will become qualified for liberation. Yeah?
Tathaiva janye naraloka veera ya ahave krishna mukha aravindam netrai pibando nayana abhiramam parthastra bhuda padama purasyaha.
Then in Mahabharata yuddham, in the war there were two groups, isn't it? Kauravas and the Pandavas, right? All the Kauravas, they got an opportunity to see Krishna in the battlefield. And they all got liberated by Arjuna's arrows. And they all got liberated at the end. Similarly, from Pandava side also, many great personalities died. They were killed by the Kauravas fighting. Kauravas killed them. And they also got purified. And they were also liberated. So that is why Mahabharatam war, actually it's not a war. What it is it's actually a feast of liberation. That is how Shastram say, Uddhava says like that. We say Mahabharata war, so many people killed, and this, that and the other. That is not the important part of it. Important part is this, that Mahabharata war was a feast of liberation. How Krishna offered liberation to anyone and everyone who died in the battlefield. They all died, right? And all of them got liberated. Both the Kauravas as well as the Pandavas. Crores and crores, millions of jivas were released from this world, right? From Mahabharata Yuddham. So there also, those people who were killed, the intention was to give them liberation, right? But if you give them punishment in the normal way, that's not good enough, right? So in the form of killing them, Krishna has blessed them by killing them, right? So Mahabharata Yuddham, you have both these two sides, isn't it? Kauravas and the Pandavas. And basically, Krishna has given liberation to everybody there. Whoever has fought in that war. And that is why this Mahabharata Yuddham is considered to be Anugraha Leela. Anugraha Leela. Just to give mercy freely, distributing that mercy, right? So, for that purpose Krishna has come. And not only to make Arjuna win the war, Krishna had this in his mind, to give liberation to millions and millions of people who participated in that war.
Swayam to samyadi shayastra disha swarajya lakshyapta samasta kamaha belim haral bischira lokapale kirida kotyeti da pada pidaham.
Then equivalent to Krishna, nobody is there who is like Krishna. There's no one like that, right? Krishna's prabhavam is like that. First thing he says, he is Satchidananda Brahmam. Satya Chitta Anandam is his identity. And what else? He says there, Apta Kama. Lakshya Apta Samastha Kama. What does Krishna want? Nothing. That's why Apta Kama means. He doesn't want anything. Only if he wants something, you have to do something. But he doesn't want anything, right? So therefore, he doesn't have to do anything because he doesn't want anything. And all his desires are all fulfilled. He doesn't have any desires either. Because you can see, when we define the soul, Krishna is pure consciousness, isn't it? So consciousness nature is full of bliss. Satya, Chitta, Anandam, right? And one who is in that state of consciousness, right? And therefore he is apta kama. If you are Satya, Chitta, Anandam realization, if you have, then you are apta kama. You have no desires then, right? So,
Not only that, many, many great personalities used to come and see Krishna in Dwaraka. So Krishna's lotus feet was kept on a small stool. So when they come, they offer their obeisances to him. So due to their crowns on their head, it will touch the, not the lotus feet, the stool. And the that stool is saying, Kirida Kotiyeti the Padapida, the Padapidam, that was getting worn out by touching their thing, right? So great, great Lokapalas and Belim Haralbishchira Lokapale, different authorities in the Krishna's administration, they come to see him, right? So, and in that position, like that, how Krishna behaved, when I think about that, Uddhava says, I'm just stunned, he said. I don't understand him, he said. He says here, you look at the next verse, what he said, 22nd verse. Tattasya kaingaryam alam pradano viglavayatyanga yadugrasenam tishtan nishannam parameshtidishne nabhodaya deva nidharayeti. When I think about his actions, Krishna's actions, I just don't understand him, he said. Why? Is it necessary for him to do all this? His position is like that. He's the absolute truth, Sachidananda Brahman himself. And all these great, great, great personalities are coming offering obeisances to him. Right? And, but then, what does he do? He goes in front of Ugrasena. Ugrasena, he made him king in Mathura, right? And in front of Ugrasena, he stands like this. Panchapucham, they call it. That means you, with greatest humility, he stands in front of this Ugrasena and says to Ugrasena that I have done everything what you have asked me to do. Is there anything more I can do? Please instruct me. He's saying this to Ugrasena. Uddhava says, and I see this. He says, I just don't know what to say, he said. Like this, Krishna's pastimes is a mystery. Nobody understands this, why he is doing all these things. So he's saying here that, is there anything else, that kaingarya bhav, kaingaryam, that's the word he has used here. Tatasya kaingaryam alam pradano, I am your kingara. So give me some more kaingaryam, he says. Kaingaryam means that the service, what can I do for you? Please instruct me. He's saying to Ugrasena. And all these great, great personalities are coming and offering obeisances to him. And he is going to Ugrasena and asking him like this. He says, what am I supposed to say about this? He said. Right? So, by doing that, he showed to the world that he likes devotees. Ugrasena was a devotee. So therefore he was happy to show his humility in front of a devotee. That's Krishna's nature, he said. Bhakta Bhaktiman. Right? Bhakta, Krishna is a devotee of the devotees, his devotees. Right? So, Ugrasena, in front of Ugrasena, he was behaving like as though he is a good servant in that way. Right? And teaching the world also. And in front of a devotee, to any extent, he is willing to go down. And that is not a problem for Krishna. 23rd verse, he said, Aho bhagiyam stanakala kodam. Jigamsayaya payedapya sadvi lebhe gadim dhatrushidam kudanyo kambodayalum sharanam rajema. He says, Krishna's first pastime, anugrahalila, to bless, was Pudana. Pudana was the first person who got the blessing from Krishna. Right? What did Pudana do? Pudana gave Krishna her breath to suck. And that too covered in poison, isn't it? But Krishna didn't look at the poison. He said, Pudana gave me the breast. And who normally gives the breast? The mother. Mother gave the breast, feeding the breast, right? So my mother's duty, she has done, Pudana has done. For my sake, she gave her breast milk, right? So let me give her also the same position what I given to my mother, which is Yashoda. What I have given to my Yashoda, I will give that to Pudana as well. Even though she had come and fed me with the poison with the intention of killing me, right? So even Pudana, who has come like that, Krishna has seen her as a mother. And the same mercy, blessing, what Krishna has given to Yashoda, Krishna has given to Pudana as well, right? So, such, have you seen anybody like this? Uddhava says to Vidura, Aho bhagiyam stana kalagudam. Kalagudam poisonous. Jigamsaya paya adapya sadvi. Lebhe gadim datri. Ujidam kudonyo. Kamva dayalam sharanam rajema. When you see these kind of actions from Krishna, he says, where else should I go and take shelter except this person, this personality, right? Who else has shown compassion like this? Whole Krishnavadaram, Krishna's appears, Paripurna Avataram, right, is completely stories like this. From Pudana onwards, right up to the end, is simply distributing this mercy freely, one after the other. Finally, the Jara, the hunter also, at the end, Krishna said, you also go back to the spiritual world, right? So, Pudana Moksham, Pudana's liberation, the pastime in the Bhagavatam, it's called Pudana Moksha. It's not called killing of Pudana. It's called Pudana Moksha. That means how Pudana got liberated. That's the story is titled, right? So even such, and this Pudana, as you know very well, what all she did. She killed so many innocent babies before that. Going to every house where newly born babies, she has killed one after the other. And just to please Kamsa. But Krishnavadaram is different. Krishna says, Krishna's, as far as Pudana is concerned, Krishna thinks of her, she is as good as my mother, Yashoda, and send her back to the spiritual world. Then Vidura says, should I not take his shelter? Who else should I take shelter apart from him? He says, that's the last verse, right? That Manyesuran Bhagavadam Stradishe Samrambha Marga Bhinivishta Chitan ये संयुगे जक्षत तार्क्ष्य पुत्र अम्से सुनाभा इदम आपतंदम. He is saying here that this is Uddhava's commentary. Yeah, Uddhava is saying, even these demons, you know, he says, they are also Mahabhagavadas, he is saying. Uddhava's opinion. Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, and Putana, they are all Mahabhagavadas, he is saying, right? Because they had a relationship with Krishna. They had a kind of enmity-like thing, feeling, hate or fear or some kind of negative relationship with them. But they had one good thing. They remembered Krishna all the time. Even though their emotions were negative. Emotions were negative. Fear, hate and things like that. But they remembered him all the time. So then the other thing was, you remember your enemies more than your friends, is it not? Friends, you get some help from them sometime and then you forget about them. But enemy, if you have developed inimical feeling towards someone, you'll always remember that, oh, he's my enemy. The moment you see him somewhere, inside anger comes or some negative thoughts comes inside us. So, basically what Uddhava is saying, that the intensity of smarana, remembrance, is powerful when you are on the enemy way, inimical way, rather than in the friendly way. If you remember someone on a friendly terms, that's not strong. That memory is not strong. But if you hate somebody, then your memory, your smarana is very strong. In that way, right? So, even if a pure devotee, prema, without of premam, prema bhakti, who has got, even prema bhakti smarana is not as intense as the devotee, as the person who has got hateful bhakti, inimical bhakti, right? So, ultimately, this person who has hated him, Krishna, so much, or who had this negative emotions towards Krishna, he realizes him. And therefore, he is the one who is making it first. So Uddhava is saying, I see them as Mahabhagavadas, because they are doing better than these Prema Bhakti people. This is Uddhava's way of analyzing it. Even though they hated Krishna, they did a lot of sinful things, everything. They made it at the end. They got liberated first, before this Prema Bhakti got there. So Krishna, that's the point he's making here, right? So this is Uddhava's opinion, right? So Krishna appeared in this world, Vasudeva and Devaki's son, as though he is their son. Then he brought him to Gokulam, and in 11 years he spent there. He covered himself, his identity, Krishna, covered his identity, and acted like a simple child in Gokulam and in Vrindavanam. And that Gokulam, and then he lived there like a cowherd boy, tending the cows and the calves, and played with his friends in the riverbank Yamuna. And then Kamsa sent a lot of demons to Vrindavanam to kill him. And as his childhood pastimes, he killed all of them. And then he expelled Kaliya from the Yamuna river, because he told Kaliya, you're polluting this whole place with your poison. And then he performed this big sacrifice for Indra Yagam. He banned that and performed Govardhana Yagam from that. And everything what was collected for performing the Yagam, sacrifice for Indra, Krishna stopped that and used everything for performing the Yagam for Govardhanam. He did that. So in this way, he showed to the world that if you get wealthy by any reason, if wealth comes to you in life, it should be used for a good cause. And that's what he has shown. And then he said that otherwise, that wealth will become a cause of great distress. He wanted to show that. And as he did that, at that time, what he did in the Govardhana Yagam was, he invited all the sadhus and the devotees, and all the wealth was collected, was used for pleasing those devotees and the sadhus who came, and that is the right way to spend, and there is nothing better than that. And then he went, at the Sharad season came, autumn season came, he played the flute for the pleasure of the gopis, and then he performed rasa dance. All these things you find there in that second chapter. With that second chapter finishes, right? So you can understand from this that Vidura is educating us about his realization about Krishna, how he has analyzed Krishna after spending such a long time with him, right? So, the third chapter, Sridhara Swami says there, Tridiye Madhuramethya Vrajan Kamsavathadikam Yel Kridam Dwarakayamcha Krishnena Tadavarnayal. After arriving in Madhura, what all he performed in Madhura, the pastimes in Madhura and Dwaraka, both. Madhura and Dwaraka, he has combined both. And this third chapter is a summary of the Madhura and Dwaraka Leela. There's 28 verses, right? So, first verse. Uddhava uvacha tadasyam agatya puram sobitro chikirshayasham baladeva samyuta nipatya tungadri payudhanatham hatam vikashadyu samoja sorvyam. After releasing Vasudeva and Devaki from the prison, and to please them, in order to please them, they were in the prison, Krishna killed Kamsa. And Kamsa left his body. And he dragged that body on the ground. Kamsa's body, right? And at that time, he showed as though he is very angry. Who? Krishna. His uncle, he is, killed him and dragged his body through the place, yeah? And to show to everybody that he is very angry with Kamsa. But does Krishna get angry with anybody? Uddhava is asking. നിപാത്യത്വം ഗാദ്രിപയൂഥനാദം ഹതം വികർഷത് സുമോജ സർവ്യാം ഓ സർവ്യാം. സോ ദെൻ നെക്സ്റ്റ് വൺ, ഹി ഗോസ് ടു സന്ദീപനി മഹർഷി ആശ്രം ആൻഡ് 64 days എഡ്യൂക്കേഷൻ. നോട്ട് ബാഡ്, 64 days ഇസ് ദി എഡ്യൂക്കേഷൻ ഫോർ ഹിം, ഫോർ കൃഷ്ണ. വി ആർ സ്പെൻഡിങ് 20 years ടു ഗെറ്റ് സംതിങ്. This is our education. Krishna's education, 64 days, right? And the 64 days education was all completed. And after that, as the fees for the education, he brings his son back, dead son, long ago died. Way back, years and years before he died. And Sandivani Muni and his wife wants to see him. Krishna says, that's no problem. If I can bring him tonight, I'll bring him. If not, by tomorrow morning breakfast, he'll be here. And then he goes and brings him back from the sea. He brought him back, right? So, and that is his Dakshina, Guru Dakshina. Gave it to him and finished his education. Then, he had a fight with Jarasandha 17 times or so. And then once, all the time he used to beat Jarasandha, these 17 times. And all the army he used to surrender. And Jarasandha used to go back, beaten. There's a whole story behind that, how Jarasandha, this has to happen in this way. Then Krishna decided that one time I should let him win. 17 times I have won. Let him win once. So he allowed him to win one this time. And Jarasandha became so happy that I won. I beaten Krishna, he said. And then he showed to Jarasandha, look, I'm frightened of you. I'm running away, he said. And he went to Dwaraka from there. Right? And shifted the whole palace, empire, everything. All the people, everyone from Mathura, all the Yadavas, all together to overnight to Dwaraka. Right? And while living in Dwaraka, Balaram married Kugudmi's daughter, Revati. And that's what he's saying here. See? Samahuda Bhishmaka Kanyayaye Shriyasa Varnena Babusha Yesham Gandharva Vrtya Mishadam Subhagam Jakhre Badam Murdhani Dhadal Subharna. That story, you know what happened with Kugudmi's daughter, Revati, how Balaram married her. That Balaram went to, Kugudmi went to Lord Brahma to ask, whom should I marry my daughter? So when he got there, some musical concert was going on there. He stayed and watched the musical concert, Brahma to be free to talk to him about it. He wanted to ask Brahma. So the time difference between Brahmalokam and this planet is such that here many Chaturyugam has gone here when he was spending the time there. So when he asked Brahma that whom should I marry, Kugudmi marry, asked her, whom should I marry Revati to? So Brahma say, he said, I had so many things, people in mind. Brahma said, that's all, the people have all gone now. There's nobody there, he said. But Balaram is there, you can marry her to Balaram. And that is how Balaram was married. And apparently Krishna and Balaram used to joke about it later. Sometime. Then Krishna used to say to Balaram, how old is your wife? And Balaram used to wind him up in this way. So a lot of things like this between the brothers happened. So then, he say here, Samahuda Bhishmaka Kanyaye, right? Suparna. Suparna means, you see the word there? Jakhre Padam Murdhani Dadal Suparna. Suparna means that somebody whom you have invited for the marriage. That's what means, right? Here, the topic is marriage, right? So, Rukmini sent a message to Krishna through a Brahmana, right? and invited Krishna for the marriage, right? So that is why it's called Suparna, because he was invited for the marriage, right? So Krishna was invited for the marriage, that's why it's called Suparna. But when he got there, Krishna had heard about Rukmini's beauty, how beautiful Rukmini was, right? And hearing this, many other princes have come to marry her. Jarasandha and so many others also, Shishupala and so many others, right? And it is the beauty of Rukmini that has made them to come. And due to this unusual beauty, beyond imagination, beauty of Rukmini, and these amount of princes who had come to Vidarbha to marry her, Uddhava says there that excuse was given that it was due to the beauty of Rukmini, right? Krishna knew that actually they had come because they wanted to have a fight with Krishna. That was the main intention behind it, right? So Krishna has decided to have a fight with them. Uddhava is saying that, right? Gandharva vritya mishadam subhagam jehre padam murdhani dadal suparna. Dadal suparna, right? So he decided to show his fighting spirit, Krishna. And in that way he married Rukmini, showing his fighting spirit. He wanted to show it to them. And that was done based on the Gandharva Vidhi. Gandharva Vidhi. So marriages are different types of marriages. Gandharvam, Paishajigam, Rakshasam, Brahmanam. In this way there are different types of marriages. This Gandharva Vidhi is like this. You kidnap your wife. You kidnap her and do that, right? So even before this marriage, Rukmini was attracted to Krishna and Krishna was attracted to Rukmini, right? So they have decided to get married, and that is the Gandharva Vidhi. That means when the bride and the bridegroom negotiate themselves, most of the marriages nowadays is Gandharva. That's not the... It's one of them, but it's not the... Everything is decided by themselves, isn't it? It's not the parents decide anymore. So, but in that Gandharva marriage, due to his courage, Krishna has beaten all those kings who had come there. And if you look at it that way, it's also Rakshasam. So it's a mixture of both, Gandharvam and Rakshasam, right? So that's what he's saying here. Kugudmado vidhanaso odamitva swayamvare nagna jidi unagna jidi muvaha tad bhagnamana anabigrihya dojyan jagneshada shastrabhada shastraihi. That other marriages, what Krishna has done, is all mostly it is Gandharvam or Rakshasam. Yeah, that this Nagnajit, her daughter, that when he got there to marry her, that king there, Nagnajit, he had made a condition that there will be 7 bulls with ropes in their nostrils. You have to control all the 7 bulls at the same time. Only such a person can marry his daughter Satya. So what did Krishna do? Krishna expanded himself into 7 forms and God controlled all the 7 bulls at the same time and married Nagnaji's daughter called Satya, right? And after he won her, there were other kings who had come, they wanted to fight. And Krishna had a good fight with them. And that is the marriage story of Satya. Then,
Priyam Prabhurgramam Iva Priyaya Vidilsir Archadyudiram Yadharthe Vajradravattam Sagano Irushandhaha Krida Amrago Nunamayam Vadhunam.
Sometimes Krishna was act as though he is like an ordinary person. Gramyam. Gramyam means that ordinary men who are attached to women, right? Attached to women, and he did this with Satyabhama, right? So, like a good husband tries to please the wife by bringing something for her, what she likes, and finding out what her taste is. So he takes Satyabhama to heavenly planets and bring the Parijada tree from there to please Satyabhama. And actually went to heavenly planets to give, return the Aditi's kundalam of the airdrops, which was stolen by Naragasura. So Krishna retrieved that from there and wanted to give it back to Aditi Devi, which he did, right? So to get it back from Naragasura, it was very difficult for Indra. So Indra approached Krishna and Krishna said, I will get that back for you. So he went and fought with Naragasura and got it back and gave it back to Indra, right? That story is there. But then when Satyabhama saw the Parijadam tree in heavenly planets, she wanted to bring that tree to her palace in Dwaraka. And Indra says, you can't have that. This is Indra. Indra is like this. He will go and ask for help, and Krishna gives him help. Then if Krishna wants something, he won't give it. Indra's mood. So Satyabhama wanted it, and Krishna decided that if I have to fight, I have to fight. So he fought with Indra and got the Parijadam from there. So here Uddhava says, Indra is a womanizer. Indra is attached to women. Saying here,
Vidul Surarchadyudaram Yadharte Vajra Adravatam Sagano Rushandha Kridamragam.
Kridamragam means that one who is addicted to women. That's this weakness, he's saying. So Uddhava making a fun of Indra in that way, right? So if he had real ability, he would have gone and fought with Naragasura and got his mother's eardrops, right? And he has forgotten that this Nandana Chaitraratham, all the huge gardens in the heavenly planets, Parijadam, everything was given by Krishna to him. But due to the opulences, he has forgotten everything. Who gave it to him? He has forgotten that, right? So,
Sudam Pradekam Vabusha Grasandam Drishtva Sunapun Madhidam Daritriya Amandridastanayaya Shesham Dattva Tadandam Puramavi Vesha.
That Naragasura was killed by Sudarshanam disc, right? And Bhumi Devi is his mother. Naragasura's mother is Bhumi Devi. In Varaha Avataram, there was a contact with Hiranya, Bhumi Devi with Varaha, Lord Varaha, and Naragasura was born from that. Okay. So, Bhumi Devi, son is also Bhagadatta. And Bhagadatta was installed as the king after Naragasura was killed, right? And that way, that Jyotishapuram, he became the in charge there. He became in charge there.
Then, Tatrahadasta Naradeva Kanya Kujena Drishtva Hari Martha Bandhum Uttaya Sadhyo Jagraho Praharsha Veda Anuraga Prahidava Lokaihi.
That in the Naragasura's palace, right? In the prison, there were 16,000 girls who were imprisoned by him, and they were very surrendered devotees. They were, right, and they all accepted Krishna as their husband. He married them and brought them by expanding himself into 16,100 forms. Krishna expanded himself to 16,100 forms and married them and brought them back to Dwaraka. Right? Then he says in the next verse,
കാലമാകത സാൽവാദീൻ സാൽവാദീനീകൈരുന്ധതപുരം അജീകനൽ സ്വയം ദിവ്യം സ്വപുംസാം തേജമാതിശൽ. കാലയാവന, ജരാസന്ധ, സാൽവ, ത്രീ ഓഫ് ദം, റൈറ്റ്? ഔട്ട് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് കാലയാവന വാസ് കിൽഡ് ബൈ മുജുകുന്ദ. കൃഷ്ണ മെയ്ഡ് മുജുകുന്ദ ടു കിൽ കാലയാവന, റൈറ്റ്? ജരാസന്ധ, കൃഷ്ണ മെയ്ഡ് ഭീമ ടു കിൽ ഹിം. ദേ വർ നോട്ട് വെരി ഫോർച്ചുനേറ്റ് ടു ഗെറ്റ് കിൽഡ് ഡയറക്ട്ലി ബൈ കൃഷ്ണ. ഹൂ? കാലയാവന, ജരാസന്ധ. കാലയാവന വാസ് കിൽഡ് ബൈ മുജുകുന്ദ. ജരാസന്ധ വാസ് കിൽഡ് ബൈ ഭീമസേന, റൈറ്റ്? And Salva Krishna killed himself, right? So he did certain things like this. Then next word, Shambaram Dividam Banam Muram Bellulam Evacha Anyamsha Danda Vaktradin Avadhil Kamsha Khadayal. Shambara Divida Bana Mura Ulkala Danda Vaktra. He killed all of them, right? Sometimes he didn't kill them. For example, Bana. Krishna didn't kill him, right? Shambara was killed by Pradyumna. And Duvida was killed by Balaram. You know that story in the Krishna's pastimes, right? Then, Svakarna Dushasana Saubalanam Kumandra Pagena Hadashriya Yusham Suyodhanam Sanujaram Shayanam Bhagnoru Murvyam Nanandapashyan. In Mahabharata Yuddham, what you find there is Karna, along with Dushasana and Shakuni, comes to Duryodhana, who was lying there on the ground in the battlefield, right? So, after seeing that, Krishna was not satisfied that he had this huge army, Yadava army, right? Yadavas were, after this war, he noticed that they were not satisfied with Mahabharata war. They still wanted something more to fight, right? At that is the time Krishna realized these Yadavas are going out of control. You know what I mean? That they fought in the Mahabharata war, but they were not satisfied with that. That Rajasagunam in there. They wanted to fight again. That moment Krishna sensed that these people are going to be a problem for this world if I let them go like this. They were very powerful, but at the same time addicted to drinking and also bad habits they have cultivated. And he realized that these are going to be a problem for the world in future. So he decided that how should I finish them before I go, right? So Uddhava understood that this was nothing but Krishna's plan. That they will get drunk, they will lose their consciousness, they will beat up each other and die. So, and it is in this way that he decided to leave the Yadavas. And Yudhishthira, he wanted to install him as the king in Hastinapur. And there, then he also installed that Parikshit Maharaj as the king, Uttaradevi's son, that he was given life by Krishna, right? So, Parikshit was protected by him, Yudhishthira was installed as the king in Hastinapur, and Yadavas he decided to close them forever from here, right? Then three Ashwamedham was performed by Yudhishthira, and then after that he came back to Dwaraka, and he stayed in Dwaraka completely detached from everything. Krishna spent the time. No attraction for any kind of enjoyment Krishna didn't have, right? So, Veda Vihida Karmam, what Vedam says, he executed that. That's all, right? And that way, made himself an example for executing Dharmam to others, right? Krishna always showed how detached he was in life. Very detached, Right? Why? Because always he is situated in the self. Brahma. Brahmanubhuti. Right? So, even while these leelas were going on, he and this Yadava's race was going to be destroyed and was cursed by the rishis. Remember Durvasa, Vishwamitra and all that. They cursed the Yadavas and they created the fight among them. Mausala Leela. Before this whole thing happened, they felt like offending the rishis. Samba acted as though he is pregnant and they brought him in front of the rishis. You know that story in the Agadisham. And they asked the rishis, will there be a boy or a girl when Samba has a baby? Rishis could see through it. They said, it will be neither be a boy nor a girl, it will be a piece of metal that will come out, right? So all these things happened, right? And then the curse happened, and with that metal piece, your race will be destroyed. Who said? The rishis. Vishwamitra was there, Durvasa was there, and a few other rishis as well. So when they heard that, they went back and told Ugrasena that they have spoken like this. What shall we do? So Ugrasena told them to grind it into powder and throw it in the sea. That story you know very well what happened. So, but Rishi said that due to this, that will be the end of your race, this Yadava. So who planned all this from behind? Krishna's plan. Krishna's plan, right? So therefore, when this happened, when this curse happened, these Yadavas who wanted to enjoy and fight, they, for some time they became very peaceful for a short period of time to keep them under control. Yeah, the curse has helped to keep them under control. Then Krishna says to them, the curse is there. We are all going to be killed. But if you go to Prabhasam and perform some penances and feed the brahmanas there and perform some charity there and all that, Krishna told them clearly what you have to do. If you do that, you may be able to escape from this, he said. So Yadavas all go there and they got there and they did everything what they were told. So after they have done everything, they wanted to drink. Even today, there are things like that, isn't it? People go, they go to the church, they pray. After the praying, they go to pub. Same thing. There's not much difference. People are saying, then and now, it's not much different. That they think it is too much for them, all these austerities. It's too much austerity for them. The vasana inside has not gone. Karma won't get rid of your vasanas inside. The same thing Yadavas did. They had a great time. They did everything strictly according to the Shastra. Even today you will find in several holy places people doing that. People go to Shabarimala. And after going to Shabarimala, 41 days they perform very strict austerities and everything. When they are finished Shabarimala, the festival, coming back they go into the pub or the booth, wherever you can get it. They want to have it. So what has changed? Nothing has changed. Everything is the same. So this tradition goes back to 5,000 years ago. From Yadava's time onwards, it's like that. And similarly, you will find so many other people doing the similar things in this world. So this is what he is saying here, that drinking business, that boozing interest, right? They all got together. They said, we have done everything what you have told us. And they lived for a short period of time in Prabhasam. As yogis they lived, following all the rules and regulations strictly. But as soon as this was over, that this asakti for drinking, that craving for the drink came to them back again, and immediately they got it, they started drinking, and they got intoxicated heavily, and then started abusing each other, and it ended up in arguments and fighting, and finally all the Yadavas got killed in that way, right? And at that moment, far away from Prabhasam, underneath the tree, a huge tree, pipal tree, Krishna sat there in Padmasanam, lotus position, and there he was with all the Vaishnava Vibhuti, with opulences, he sat there in the yoga posture. And he gave me the instructions, what I wanted, Uddhava says, at that time, right? And Badrinath, he told me to go to Badrinath. But I haven't gone to Badrinath yet, because I've been finding it very difficult to be separated from Krishna, right? And again I went to Prabhasam to see him, but by then all the Yadavas were killed, everyone was dead, and I did not care for them anymore, because Uddhava has lost all respect for the Yadavas by then, and I only thought about Krishna then, right? And he says there that at that moment he saw that Krishna was walking from the seashore on his own, right? And they reached into a short forest, not big trees, very small trees, right? And he got there and he saw there was a light from the sky coming, and he saw Krishna sat underneath the tree, and at that time this hunter Jara shot the arrow to Krishna's lotus feet, and he realized it, that he thought that it was a animal's eyes or something, and he shot that, but then he realized it was Krishna who was there. So he hunter came to him crying for what he has done. Krishna said to him, it's my desire this to should happen in this way, right? So at that moment Krishna opened his eyes, and Krishna saw me as well, but he asked me to come closer, and he told me this. He said, that is, if you go into the fourth chapter, you will see that mentioned. Chadarthe bandhu nidhanam shutval jnana siddhaye uddhavasya upadeshena kshatha maitreya magamal. That is the time he said that Vedanta mandar, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Vedanta mandar manasipsidam te dadami yatad durava apamanyehi satrepuram vishusrajam vasu vinam mal siddhigamena vaso toyeshtaha. That he says to him that he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, I know what is going through your mind, right? I will fulfill that desire, because nobody else has got it, and I'm going to give that to you, right? Because long ago, you wanted to be with me, and you have come to a satram, a sacrifice which was going on, which was performed by the Vasus. Uddhava is a Vasu. There are eight Vasus. Uddhava is Vasus, right? And you have performed that service to me. Uddhava is a incarnation of Vasu, right? So you'll see there in the 12th verse, he's saying that, Sa esha sadho charamo bhavanam asadi daste madanigraho yel Yenmam Nrilokan Rahul Srajandam Drishtya Dadrishwan Vishadani Vrityaha. We will talk about that tomorrow. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.